You're going to be the one stuck with your mistakes and your parents' mistake. It's your life that you're going to be dealing with after they're gone.
That's so deep.
You're stuck with a horrible job that you hate that brings you misery and a partner that you also despise.
It's a good life. Mom, I know you want me to be a doctor, but like, unfortunately, I don't understand basic chemistry.
Chemistry.
Or
English.
Your parents will be like, oh, you're becoming too American. Obviously. What do you expect out of me, buddy? They wanted a fresh bungalow boy straight out the river, like a fish. That's what they wanted as a child. Sorry, buddy. Thank you so much for coming back to another episode of Difficult-ish. Where on this episode, we're going to be talking about things that we don't owe our parents. Because on the last episode, we talked about things that we do owe our parents, okay? It was supposed to be 2-1. Then we had to, you know, break them apart because, you know, we started yapping a little too much, okay? So in that episode, we talked about things that we owe, right? Our love, time, respect, financial help, of course. But in this episode, we talk about the opposite, okay? So what don't we owe our parents? Control over our career? Control over our relationships? Do we owe them our self being sacrificed? Maybe. We talk about that, and we talk about so much more in this jam-packed episode that you will love, and you will enjoy, and you will share to all of your friends. And it starts right now. Welcome back to another episode of Difficult-ish, a podcast about different South Asian areas.
You scared not only the listeners, but also like the software that we use with how high that volume.
Hosted by my co-host here,
Huakan. And my co-host here,
Master Munir. Before we get any further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast, leave a little commento.
Oh my god, I just realized.
A couple words, what?
If you guys aren't watching the video, I just realized we're both wearing Bangladesh merch.
Oh my god.
Unintentionally. Oh my god. We're just like
we
heavy on the Joy Bangla today. He's wearing his Bangladesh jersey.
How did you know where?
I'm wearing my sweatpants that have a lot of Bangladesh things on it.
Yeah, folks.
Sold out. Never coming back.
Can't ever get them again.
Yeah, these were one of my first ever collections.
Sorry, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? Today I was bored, so I looked up top South Asian podcast, and I saw that we're number one on FeedSpot.
Actually.
I didn't even know.
Oh, that's
shout
huge.
Out FeedSpot.
Thanks, FeedSpot. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you know, we're just out here, you know, doing the thing, and, you know, it's been hectic times, you know, her and I have been real busy,
Yeah,
a lot of family. She got a lot of family stuff going on. We had our whole engagement going on, and I'm gonna be in Orlando for a little bit doing family things as well.
But we're celebrating Eid together.
We're celebrating Eid together. First Eid together.
First time.
First Eid together. Just went Eid shopping yesterday.
Yeah.
How's your first Eid shopping experience?
Well, this was my first Eid shopping experience without my parents, and like essentially by myself. And I think when we walk into these, not even that I think. I know when we walk into these stores and we're just like little kiddos without guardians.
You keep saying this. I think we look, you know, mid to late 20s.
No, I think we look our age, but in their eyes, we're still bachara. Like, we're still kids.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You know,
true.
And they're not going to take us as serious because they assume that we don't know Bangla.
Well, no, yeah.
And they think that we're just going to speak in English. And, you know, I get it. So, you know, a lot of the workers at these stores, they don't think that we know how to speak Bangla right away. So they are unsure on how to talk to us. But then we start speaking in Bangla and they're like, oh, okay, they're one of us, right? But with that being said, we don't know how to haggle or bargain. And that's something that I'm fine with. I don't really need to learn how to do that. But like the level of cutthroatness that my mom has with bargaining, like I'll never reach that and I don't want to.
Mm. Thing is, like, you can't go shopping when you're like in desperate need of something.
Yeah,
you know,
especially
like we did not want to go back. We did not want to go shopping again. It was already late at night. We had a long day.
Yeah,
that's not when you should go shopping. Something you know, you should go shopping when like you have like nothing
time.
To lose.
Yeah,
you know.
And also, something that I didn't know that Jackson Heights and like Eid shopping was entailing in New York is that Chandrath is like a week before.
Yeah, why was Chandrath last night?
Chandrath is already you know the custom Chandrath, what it quite figuratively literally means is the night before Eid, right? And that's when you know have your Mehdi done, the Eid festivities start the night before.
They already got
tell
gone.
Me why it started a week gone. In advance. It was so popping and lit, so busy. All the stores were open mad lit beyond the time that they're supposed to be open.
It was lit.
It was just like
it's a good time.
I was like, since when is it a week before?
Yeah, it was a good time, you know. But I can't lie, you know, it was a good time.
But wasn't I shopping for Eid for the first time with
you? Yeah, it was. Did it you was like different. What you got?
Yeah, what you got me. It was nice. It was nice. You know when you get to that point where it's just so late in the night,
yeah,
you don't feel like changing your clothes because, you know, I was wearing like layers of clothing. I didn't feel like going in and out and taking it off and trying on new clothes and mm-hmm. this and that. And it was too much. So I was like, let's just go back to the old. I mean, you were like, let's just go back to the old store where we liked the first item of clothing you liked and just go back and buy that.
I definitely overpaid, but, you know, it was just to like mitigate the stress of, you know, not having something to the last minute.
Eat clothes shopping is wild now. Like by the time we're watching this, I posted a Bangla English vlog of me going eat shopping in Jackson Heights. And, you know, back in the day, I would buy a fancy, like, bridal wear type of clothing for $200 or whatever it is. And that was, even then, expensive, right? But now, you'll buy something that's just, like, pure cotton.
Yeah.
Not much embellishment on it at all. And it's $200+.
It is.
We're in crazy times now, even with the recession.
Yeah, Trump's America. Saw that boy.
Yeah. So, I think...
That's right.
I think I mean, I still like supporting these small businesses, but I think I'm going to try getting more things online from now
on. Man. Yeah, man. Good thing is they get all those for like $10 back among us. Like,
yeah.
We all know that. That's what frustrates me the most. Because like, I'll be bargaining. I'll be like, yo, I know how much y'all got this for.
Your bargaining skills have gotten crazy.
What you mean?
Like, I never expected it from you. Because
what you mean?
Before, your Bangla wasn't like as it developed and you didn't really know how to say the numbers in Bangla, which like still we both don't know how to do that. But now you're just like yeah, I know you didn't buy it for that much, like sell it for lower,
bro, because going back to Bangladesh, that changed me, bro, because I did not realize how little all of this cost, bro.
Become so blunt, like father's son.
Actually yeah. And you know, like I don't like doing the whole I don't like that, like you pull out like that desperate card, like, oh please, like, oh, like,
no,
you know,
I didn't,
this
okay,
is our first
okay
this
let
our,
me
I don't like that you pull out,
okay,
you know, I just want to keep it as like,
preface.
Yo, like, I know how much this
let
is
me
bro. Come on, stop playing.
I did not pull out a desperate card. Me and you are different because I pulled out the empath card and you pulled out like, no, like, I know you didn't buy it for this much. What I basically said was like, no, like, you know, we're kids. Well, now me translating.
Yeah, that's purely desperate. That's purely, she's saying we're children, don't charge us too much. What the hell are you doing?
Well, me translating in English, it does sound a little bit bad. But basically what I said, I was like, oh, it's our first E that's engaged couple. Like, we're just kids. You know, we're bachara. Like,
like, why are you? And you're like doing that like behind my back, like looking over my shoulder.
Like,
I'm trying to be like, yo, like, stop
playing
me. Like, I know it's not that much. Like, why are you making me look like that? Golly.
I was literally crying.
Golly.
Yeah, I was literally trying to pull their like the empath card, whereas you were just like the cutthroat card.
Yeah.
But then guess what? We had to leave because they weren't budging.
They
and then they won at the end of the day because we came back.
Yeah, I came back.
Yeah.
And I still like kind of lowballed them. Then they said yes.
Honestly, you didn't lowball them.
Not lowball them, but like they kept saying the same price. And I just said some like those like $40 below. And they're like, okay.
No, next time we got to go with my mom because she would not.
Yeah,
have
you just can't
slide.
Go when you're desperate. That's all. That's all. You got to go when you have like a month left. Like you're not in no rush at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was good. Good times.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. All right, what's up? Like, what's going on? Like, what's this episode all about? I don't even know.
Yeah, you do. You know very well. So as you guys might know, in our last episode, we did part one. And we weren't expecting to. We were expecting to put both parts in one episode. And we talked about what we feel like we owe to our immigrant parents, right? As children of immigrants, knowing our parents sacrificed so much to come to this country and provide for us and, you know, all the good things, we feel like, despite everything, there are some things that our parents deserve, even if it brings us some sort of pain or it cuts into our mental health, cuts into our finances, whatever it is. We talked about part one, right?
Right.
In part, wow, your voice, what was that?
It happens. Through puberty? I'm going through a phase.
26-year-old man going through a phase.
Yeah.
But yeah, in part one, we talked about things that we feel like we will go above and beyond for our parents. In this part,
what are we doing?
Part two, we're talking about the opposite.
Holy.
We are going in on things we feel like we do not owe to our parents.
Damn.
And some of our non-negotiables.
Wow.
Right?
Non-negotiable.
And there were some things that we said in part one that could have been hot takes. Maybe the older generation might disagree with us. Maybe there are even some cutthroat people in our generation that disagree with us. But in this one, I feel like it's going to be a lot worse when we might get some controversial opinions based off of the things that we do not
think they're very like controversial though, you know.
I think it is.
You think so? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they're like relatable things that just people like don't say like out loud too much, you know. But like I don't think it's like
people are thinking it.
Right.
But they don't say it or want to do it.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh wow. Yeah. But you guys gave us some responses. I actually haven't looked at any of them.
So yeah, me neither.
They're gonna be some crazy ones, I'm expecting.
Or they might suck.
Maybe. All right. Do you have any that you want to start out with?
You want to start off with like honorable mentions, like
already?
Yeah. Usually, like honorable mentions are the first. Like,
okay. Go ahead.
I don't have any though. Do you have any? Like anything that's like not that serious, just like kind of silly?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't.
All right. We don't have to do any of that. We could go straight into it. One thing that we do not owe our parents is cultural perfection.
Can we break that down? Because I'm not sure what that means.
You know what that means.
No, let's see.
You know what that means.
What's it mean?
You know, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, like, I am a Bangladeshi American, right? Like, I am a of...
You're Bangladeshi. I couldn't tell.
Like, my parents are from there, right? But I am from Orlando, Florida. Like, right. I am from, you know, like, the States. I'm a Westerner, right?
Right.
And I didn't grow up with a lot of Bengali people. You know, I grew up with a lot of people from other cultures. By the way,
that sounds like a curse, too, when you call your... when other people refer to you as a Westerner. That sounds like an insult. Like, you know, when like Bengali people call like people outside of Bangladesh as Bidishi.
Right.
That's like,
that is
that is a curse word.
I gotta be honest. You know, like I grew up with like a lot of people that are not Bengali. I didn't grow up with a lot of people in my culture. I grew up with a lot of people from other cultures, and thus I didn't grow up with like the most love and appreciation or care or interest for my own culture, you know. And I only recently started just a few years ago, you know. I only just started learning how to make some of the dishes. Or, you know, I've always known how to speak Bangla, but my Bangla has gotten like significantly better over the last couple of years.
I can attest to that,
you know. And just and yeah, and I don't think my parents expected it too much, but I know this is like the case with like a lot of other kids. Like, a lot of parents will expect their kids to kind of like be as Bengali as they are, you know, and like go out of their way to like be as, you know, close to the culture, close to the customs, or knowledgeable of like, you know, what a lot of the traditional norms are, because they are like the offspring of their parents. And I think that's something that, like, you know, our parents should have a little bit more care and empathy towards. It's like, we obviously did not grow up in Bangladesh. We grew up with, like, people from all sorts of lands, you know? Like, when you grow up in Bangladesh, you only grow up with Bangladeshi people. When you're growing up here in the States, you grow up with absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
And we become, like, a melting pot of so many other different types of cultures and life experiences, you know? And, like, I grew up with a lot of people that didn't come from like a stereotypical like Bangladeshi background, you know. Even if they were Bangladeshi, they didn't grow up like how like a lot of the other, you know, more middle class South Asian families grew up, you know. So,
but I have a question. Do you feel like you became closer to your culture and learned these, you know, Bangladeshi dishes and just started caring more about your culture and your roots for yourself, and because you genuinely want to be closer to your roots? Or do you feel like you did that to, you know, for as like a service for your parents?
Nah, genuinely, it genuinely came like in COVID. I think like I've said it a bunch. Like, it was during COVID where I started to finally try to, like, I didn't even know much about like the history of Bangladesh, like how Bangladesh came to be, like what happened in like the liberation war. Like, I didn't know a lot of these things, and I went out and learned it all on my own, you know. Like, my mom didn't pressure it or enforce it on me by any means. And and yeah, you know, like, I think about so many times, like, growing up, like, especially when I was like a teenager, my Bangla always used to suck. And like, even now, like, I know how to speak the language, but like, I can't say the words super perfectly. Like, like, you like balo, like, I can't do like the BH very well. I just say balo, like, and you say it better than I do. Like,
Yeah, but it's like a.
And but you know, I used to get made fun of. I used to get made fun of all the time. Like whenever like an auntie would come up, she'd be like, "Oh, come on, I'll be like, oh, Balawasi," and then she would like look to the corner and she'd be like, "Balawasi," like mimicking like how bad I said it. And I got that so much growing up.
It makes it turns you off from
wanting to try. Yeah, because I'm like, yo, like, come on, bro, like, why are you laughing at me like that? Yeah. You know. So I got a lot of that, and I just think that's something that like we don't really owe our parents, especially if we grow up with like so many other cultures. You know.
So you feel like you don't owe. You don't owe you having to learn about your culture to your parents if they force it down your throat, or also if you didn't grow up with that culture around you, but you feel like you owe it to yourself to do it?
I said cultural perfection. Perfection. Mm. Oh, we, like perfection. Like, they can't expect us to be the perfect Bengalis or the perfect Indians or the perfect whatever because we are not from there. You know, even if we are from there, that's a whole other conversation, but it's because we are Westerners that, you know, like, obviously... It is our duty to like indulge ourselves in our own culture, like whether it's on our own or through our parents. But like, I know of a lot of parents that like expect perfection, like expect you to eat all of the dishes, and like if you don't like them, you are a sin to the culture. You know, like if you don't like all the torkeries and all the da da da, like you're not even Bengali or whatever. You know, like that. We don't know, but like obviously to we owe to like our parents and to ourselves to just like indulge ourselves as much as we want in in our cultures and stuff.
I think like if the parents or in the community that you are in, they do their best to kind of show you just how the culture is, and you know, there's like the events that you go to for like Bangla New Year, or you start understanding the language because your parents speak it in the house or whatever it is. Like, they're doing their part to kind of get you to understand the culture, and they're not like forcing it down your throat, and then it's up to you if you want to actually take that in your own life and actually want to be closer to your roots. And that's like something that you do for yourself, for your own identity building. And I feel like when you are forced to learn something perfectly, or you know, whatever the case is, that's when you don't actually retain it for yourself or do it for yourself, and it makes you like either hate it or be far away from it as possible because you're not doing it for your own well-being or standards. Like, you're doing it for other people or for like a third party reason, you know? So I agree. That's good. Can be
like, you know, when you go back and like you're just like so humbled with like how you know absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
like I always thought like I can like you know, converse and bang, and then I go out there, I'm like, damn,
can't do nothing. Do
nothing at all.
Yeah, no, I kind of miss so like fast. Being in Bangladesh, because it's like it really forces you to learn all these different terms. And
effects.
You know, when you're a first what the hell is the word, like, you're an English speaker, that's your first language, even though Bangla was my first language and I learned more English in school, since my dominant language is English, I code switch in my head to Bangla when I think of words, but I'm not able to fully speak in Bangla because I still have English words in the language. But when I'm in Bangladesh, it forces me to think a little bit harder and have those Bangla words ready instead of switching to English,
you know? Right, you realize like how you speak in Bangladesh like all the time.
Yeah,
but then you go there, you can't do none of that.
Yeah,
Bangla people are funny too.
Yeah,
you know, we got like gyro yesterday from like the gyro cart, and like the guy in front of us was like, "Oh, acta Fanta, dibe. Like, can I have like a Fanta?" And then the worker was like, "Oh, ik tu kosto kor ni to hobe bhai."
That means like
you gotta put in a little work to get it yourself.
But like, it was like right in front of
the way that you said it. Like,
but it was right in front of
so like
it was like so a respectful. Softly. It was like a respectful way of like, you know.
That's funny.
Okay. That was a good one.
Yeah, thank
you. That was a good one. I got one.
You got some better or worse?
No, nah, I mean it's on, but
it's better.
I didn't think we were in a competition.
No, we are.
Are we in a competition?
Yeah.
All right. My next one is: you owe your parents respect, but you don't owe them to. Wait, let me reword it because I didn't say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you owe your parents respect, right?
Okay.
But there's a but.
Yeah, there's.
You don't always have to let them be right.
Damn.
That was a bar, right?
That's a
you
bar.
You like that one?
That's kind of deep. You want to break that down?
Let me elaborate a little bit. So, yeah, your parents are always deserving of respect, right?
Always.
Always.
Ooh, hot take. Go ahead.
But if they are saying something that is, like, blatantly wrong.
Heinous.
Blatantly racist, just completely not discriminatory. Sane. Discriminatory could be anything. See, you're pushing the chair, the couch.
I'm really
back
not.
In.
No, I'm
I felt
really
it. I just
really
felt
not.
It, and it wasn't me. You think a little girl like me, who's weighing 120 pounds, is pushing this back? No, it literally is.
Okay.
So anyway, if they're saying something completely wrong, you do not have to just sit back and not open your mouth. Because I think our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation, obviously there were some points of rebellion where the kids might have done something that the parents didn't approve of. Mm. But for the most part, when there's authority and there's an older person, especially like a parent or a teacher, they're not going to say something back because they're going to either get hit or they're going to get, you know, scolded or whatever it is. So my parents looked up to, or my mom especially, she looked up to her father very highly, and she would never talk back to him because there was like a lot of respect in the family with the father figure and in the village as well, right? In the community.
Mm.
So it was, even if there were things that he said that weren't 100% right, or now that I'm looking back at it as a kid, looking back on what my grandfather might have done, I'm like, okay, that would not fly with me, right? But like, even back then, even though, you know, what is it, 30 years ago, 40 years ago when my mom was little, that was not something that she would speak up for, right? And she didn't even think it was wrong. But me now, I would speak up for that. So what I'm saying is that, like, you are able to speak back to an elder or to a parent. It doesn't have to be disrespectfully. It doesn't have to be you raising your voice.
All right, give me an example.
Okay, all right. You're the parent?
Yeah, okay.
And you just said, like, yeah, I think only the boys...
Yeah, only the boys should go outside.
Go outside, and the girls should not.
Not.
I think as a daughter or as a son, you should speak up and be like, no, I don't think that's right.
Mm.
In 2025, both people can go outside, and this is what's wrong in society.
Nope, you're wrong. Stupid girl. You're wrong.
No, honestly, that's you're a wrong. Genuine conversation. Yeah, so then you... put some more facts in there.
Okay.
Put your foot down. You speak up more.
Okay.
Oh, are we still role playing?
No, we don't have to.
I really don't
want
to.
Okay. But it's like, so we're allowed to talk back. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think there's a bad connotation with talking back, because talking back just means like you're disrespecting them and that you're not respecting their authority and that you're rude and disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think talking back can also just make you into like a confident person. And you know what, guess what I'm reading a book, right? And the girl is talking about how she's a lawyer because her parents really wanted her to go into this field, and in the house she was always taught to be quiet and obedient and never talk back, but then when she was in public speaking and these, like, you know, lawyer classes, they expected her to win these cases and like be very vocal and, you know, being like the model UN and just be very like loud and confident. But it's like, if you're taught in the home to always be obedient, never talk back, and always respect authority, how can you expect these kids to go into school and have confidence and know how to speak up for themselves, whether it is someone, you know, a kid bullying them, whether they are in a class for public speaking and they have to prove an argument? Like, you have to teach it in the house too, right?
Right.
And I feel like our parents, I do know about you, but my parents never really apologized, and since they were the adults, they were always the ones that were right. You know, that's what they told us. So we never felt like we had, like, our own right. Like, me and my brother never had, like, our own footing in the house or had, like, our own say on things and things like that. So obviously that follows you into the classroom as well, and then also in real life, right? So I think it's really important to, you know, as the next generation, we have to be able to, yeah, obviously give authority to our kids, but also be someone that can apologize to them when we're in the wrong and let them have their own voice and let them not, like, argue with us in a harsh way, but we should let them have their own say in things and talk to us freely where they're not, like, scared of us entirely. You understand?
Yes.
Thanks, buddy. It took a while to get there, but we're here now, you know?
All right.
Sorry it took so long.
So, like, don't talk back. Or talk back. Talk back.
That's talk back, but, like, respectfully.
Okay.
I think there's a difference. Talking back is just, it just sounds bad. I think there should be an equal opportunity for both the parents and the kids to talk freely. Obviously, there's, like, a respect aspect of it, but there should still be an openness, you know? So what I feel like we don't owe to our parents is just continuously being a yes man and being under.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Their power with no sort of like exchange of words and thoughts.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you got for it. Coming to my TED Talk.
Got it.
Thank you for
finally
coming.
Finally got to it. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right. Yeah, yeah, good one.
Thanks.
Good one.
You? ¿Y tú? Guys, this man is better at speaking Spanish than Bangla, because tell me how he's so quick. He literally knows every single goddamn Spanish song.
That's not true.
He's quicker to respond in Spanish to me than in English or in Bangla. And I'm like, were you, like, switched at birth? Because this is not normal behavior. I think if you were, like, put in the middle of, like, Corona, Queens...
Right.
Like the biggest Spanish pop, or in the Bronx or something, right?
Yeah.
You'd be able to assimilate.
I'd be okay.
You'd be able to assimilate so well, a lot better than in Jackson Heights, Queens.
I'd be okay. I'm from Orlando, Florida, guys.
No, like, it's beyond that, though.
Nah, because I had more people to speak Spanish with than I had to speak Bangla with, you know, like, and, like, I at school, like,
I have friends who literally think you're Latin. Because of how well you're able to sing these songs.
Sorry, yo.
All right, anyway.
I just like the tunes, man.
No, I know you're good with the tunes, but I'm saying
that's like the tunes. One thing that we do not owe our parents is the full sacrifice of self-being.
I don't know what that means. Can we break that one down? That was like poetry.
It means like, this is what I mean. What I mean
is
like.
You just talked in like cursive. Like, what was that?
What I mean is like, you know, like. Ma, like, I know you want me to be a doctor, but, like, unfortunately, like, I have a 2.2 GPA. Like, Mom, I know you want me to be a doctor, but, like, unfortunately, I don't understand basic chemistry.
Chemistry. Or English.
Or English. Like, you know, like, our parents want these things of us without, like, the full picture of like who we are. You know, like when right out the womb they're like that one's
gonna fulfill the gonna dream that I was practice. Never able to.
That one's gonna have their own orthopedic practice. I can't speak English.
you got it.
What I'm trying to say is, like, you know, it's fine if you try to guide us. Like, obviously, all kids or all parents are going to try to guide their kids towards, like, certain directions, whether it's, like, sentimental towards them as, like, the parents, or, like, things that they find as, like, safe and secure. But, like, at some point, you got to let the kids, like, follow, like, where their wings are taking them, you know? And I feel like a lot of our parents don't allow us to have that.
And I think, you know, sometimes they get so blindsided by like their dreams that they're putting on you, where they're unable to confront like who their kid actually is.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that not only hinders the kid from growing, but it also hinders a parent from establishing like an actual relationship with their child and have like more to their child than they know. You know, because in their eyes, it's just like, no, he has to be a doctor. He has to, you know, do this one thing. And it goes into what I was gonna say, but that was a good one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know,
wait, why'd you, what was, like, how'd you word it?
Like, the sacrifice of, like, self-being. Like, my self-being, like going where my life takes me. You know, like, my life is taking, like, I discovered on my own that, like, I really love writing when I was in ninth grade. You know, and, like, that's not something that, like, I shared to my parents at the time because I knew they would not care. But, you know, like, I think, you know, like, life has happened how it's happened, but, like, you know, I think about, like, if we were to go back and, like, if I recognize that my kid really loves something at the age of 13 or 14, you know, because, like, my mom tried to push, like, piano on top of me, and, like, I love it, but, like, obviously I didn't follow through with it. My mom tried to push, like, you know science on top of me, didn't follow through with it. But, you know, imagine, like, you see your kid really like something, and you're like, you know what,
do
let's get you extra that, let's get you extra that. I feel like that doesn't happen a lot, you know. It's just, you know, oh, you're doing that, but that's wrong, come back over here, like, let's we're gonna get you extra more of this. Even though, like, I know that you don't like it, we're gonna make you like it.
If your that's future kid really really has a passion in, like, badminton, or like, you know, something very technical, like DJing or something, at a young age, he knows that. But it's taking away from his studies, what would you do?
I mean, the thing is, like, you gotta, like, the studies have to be first, like, the foundation, but, like, you can't, like, never stray your kids away from that type of stuff, you know? Like, my mom would be like, nah, stop that, you know, like, you gotta do this instead. Whereas, like, the right way would be like, yo, like, keep doing that, but make sure you get good grades, you know, like, I think that's, and I think that's how, like, a lot of kids do it, but, you know, like, not saying that, like, you gotta go be a doctor, but, like, you have to have good grades, because like, that's one thing they do in school. Like, I don't know if you ever suffered from this, but, like, I literally could not, like, join clubs because my GPA was too low. You know, this is a thing
that never happened to me.
Like, I wanted to try out for, like, the lacrosse team, but, like, my GPA was too low.
Well, the problem for me was I did try out for the lacrosse team and I didn't make it.
Okay, well, because, you know, I was, like, just bad. I couldn't, you know, like,
I didn't know that was the, you do have to maintain, like,
good very grade, standard, like, GPA grade that you should not be dipping below anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't hit that. I couldn't hit that.
So maybe it's good that you couldn't get in.
Right. So, you know, it's just like, the, we don't owe them, like, the full, like, our, like, life sacrifice, like, of, like, where we want to take our lives, you know?
It's interesting because, like, in high school when I was in the advanced arts and I really liked, you know, just doing art and painting and things like that, my mom did support me and she did come to my functions for when I got, like, the awards and, you know, the shows and things like that, which is great. But after a certain age, it's kind of ingrained in you, like, you have to stop this to focus on something more serious and stable. And I understand from their like, survival mindset, like, why they say that, but I think when we do it later on in the future, you don't have to substitute something that you're really passionate and that you love with something more serious. You know, it's possible to do both, and it's possible to, you know, love something and maybe not make that into your career, or maybe make it into your career, you know? And I think we should be able to give, like, the option of doing any thing that they want.
For me, it was always like, is grades and only grades, not like, it's grades plus you could go also do these other things, but, like, grades first, you know? For me, it was just like, if you don't only get good grades, and if you don't put all your focus onto school, you're gonna be a failure in life. Versus, like, you know, get a good grade, but, like, you could go follow that one thing if you want, but, like, make sure you got the foundation and whatnot, you know? So, like, I wish I just got, like, more of that. You know,
that's good.
That makes sense.
I'll leeway into my point from yours.
I'll hop on.
I'll put a post-it note on that. And
what?
I'll put a thumbtack on that.
How about, you just say you're moving on. You're moving on, buddy. You don't have to connect yourself to what I was saying at all. Please don't.
What's the saying?
You don't have to.
I'll put a.
Put a pin.
Put a pin in that.
Okay.
Let's put a pin in that.
No, but pin means, like, you're coming back to it. No, I don't think we are.
No, I think my point is related to that.
Okay, well, okay. To add on.
Just to add on, I put a pin in that.
You don't have to put a pin in anything. Please.
Put a post-it note.
Put a thumbtack. You own a thumbtack.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Please go.
You guys get it. So, yeah, so you said that. I mean, whatever the hell you said. Like,
I said something very normal that anyone else can understand. Made some shit up. Any of our listeners will understand what I said. Okay. It's just you.
All right. So
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
What?
Our parents are future. What are you gonna say?
Okay. See, now you're gonna be fun. I'm not gonna say it anymore. You can carry on this podcast just on your own.
I know. It's just like I know you.
You do not owe your parents. No, because if you're gonna expect the worst from me. You do not owe your parents your career and your love life.
What's that mean?
I think piggybacking on what you said, right? Our parents sometimes feel like they have a say on our future and career. They have these big dreams and aspirations for us becoming a doctor before we're even born and this and that, right?
Yeah.
I think that you should not let them hold that against you and over you and let that dictate what you want to do for the rest of your life. Because sometimes parents are, and you know, this is not every time, but like sometimes they'll manipulate you so hard. They're like, yeah, my dying wish as I'm getting older is for my son to become a doctor.
Yeah, before I die.
Before I die. They'll be like, yeah, we immigrated here with 4 cents in our pocket, not knowing anything. God forbid we want our son to become a doctor.
Yeah.
And they make it seem like this is this small, minuscule goal that you have to reach to make them proud finally.
Easy peasy.
Just get your MD, get your law degree, get whatever to just be a doctor. Just be a doctor.
I told you, like, I was driving around the neighborhood with my mom, like, there was like a for sale sign, new house in the neighborhood. My mom was like, think about it. Like, if you buy this house, you could just put it for rent and then you're getting money.
Yeah.
Marshall, why not?
Marshall, exactly. Why not? No, Marshall, when you say it like that, Marshall, yeah.
Why not? Think about it. She said.
She did say think about it.
Chindakoro.
She did say
Kino renta.
No, honestly, easy. When you break it down like that, it's very simple.
Honestly, I was like, damn,
all you said. All you got to do is just like go to school for like 8 hours, like, you know, work not too hard. Not work too hard, yeah, but like, you don't get like your.
Yeah, save your money.
Save your money, yeah.
Right. Save all of your money.
Save all of your money. Go get your doctorate. But also
Namasporo.
Yeah, pray. But also, you should have had a husband yesterday.
You fat too.
You're also fat.
Why are you so ugly?
Lose some weight. But anyway.
Good day.
Okay, so yeah, sometimes we feel this pressure to fulfill our parents' prophecy, right?
Oh shit. Holy. Where did that one come from, buddy?
You like that one? Why was that one so
I didn't know you were capable of that. Prophecy. Holy shit. That was unbelievable.
You thought only you were capable of the poetry?
Oh, my God.
I am,
no,
too.
No, that one caught me off guard.
Yeah, I didn't know that one was going to get you. I had so many more on my sleeve.
Golly.
All right, anyway.
Prophecy.
So.
Damn.
Shut the hell up. So, we have to fulfill this prophecy, right? And we have this, like, weight on our shoulders. We're like, yeah, like, you know, they did raise us for all these years. They did sacrifice so much. The least I can do is just make them happy by getting this degree that I may or may not actually want and just, like, follow the path that they have for me. But you have to realize that, like, them saying that you're doing this little thing for them is not a little thing, because that is years and work of your time, or that is years of your time and so much hard work. And it might not even be something you're passionate with. And you're going to be the one stuck with this career for 40, 50 years or whatever it is. It's going to be affecting your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe you are making them proud at the end of the day, but it's like your life that you're affecting.
It also don't last.
It doesn't last.
It don't last.
Yeah.
They get
on to the next.
They forget about that proudness real quick.
Yeah.
You know about that one. I know about that one.
And then also with the partner that they choose for you, I'm not talking about like an arranged marriage where it's like consensual, where both of you want that to happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more so talking about like if you have someone that you really love that you want to be with forever,
mm-hmm.
and they're just completely against it, and then they want to choose your life partner for you and like leave that person behind, like who you already have.
Yeah.
Like that is not right, because we cannot also, like what I said before about talking back to your parents or standing your ground, you cannot just accept their authority and let that slide when you know you're going to be miserable and you know that that's not the life that you want. Like, you have to actually fight for what you want and go for the career or person or route, whatever, that you deserve to have. Because, like, you're going to be the one stuck with your mistakes and your parents' mistakes. And it's, you know, it's your life that you're going to be dealing with for 50, 60 years after they're gone. And then you're stuck with it.
That's so deep.
You're stuck with a horrible job that you hate that brings you misery and a partner that you also despise.
It's a good life.
Yeah. You can't relate, though, can you? Yeah, I know.
I know. I didn't know you could speak for me like that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. You got any more?
No, that's it.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Yours were kind of basic.
No, they were not, guys. Please comment down below. Like, he just put some poetry in his words and he thinks that he said so much.
You said you don't owe them your love? Like, obviously. You know, like.
I didn't say I don't owe them my love, okay?
No, your love life.
Okay, well, that's completely different.
Aren't you lucky that, like, your mother, like, very much adores, like, your, like, partner? Yeah, I know she is. I know she's very happy. I know you're also very happy about that. I know.
Okay.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
You have anything else, buddy?
No. You want to go into responses?
I also have one more.
Oh, my God. Please.
Not really. It's just, like, tied to, like, the first thing I said, but just, like... Like,
are you taking the pin out of the pin that we made, and now you're like,
what I'm gonna do is ignore what you just said. That's what, like, you asked, like, what are you gonna? I'm gonna ignore.
Okay.
What you just said.
Okay.
Like, a lot of time, like, your parents will want you to like ask you, like, they'll be like, oh, like you're becoming too American. You're, but obviously, what do you expect out of me, buddy? Like, what in the world? You expect
it's like
me
they
to
moved
straight
to
out the
America.
River?
They moved to America, put you in American school, put all the Americans around you in American customs, and then they get mad at you for. Yeah.
They wanted me. They wanted a fresh bungalow boy straight out the river, like a fish. That's what they wanted as a child. Sorry, buddy. I'm from Orlando, Florida, the southern part of the country.
The south.
Anyways, yeah, they'll try to, like, suppress, like, your westernism a lot of the time. Yeah. They ask you why you're being so American. You know, I get it. You know, if you're being a little too, you know, you probably know some of those,
yeah,
right? Like, too.
Yeah.
American.
Yeah.
I get it. But, like, we're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean we have a podcast. Okay, you want to move on to the
doing the responses or me?
Yeah, I'll do them.
Oh, all right. So, as you guys know, at the end of our episode, we try to feature some of your responses on our episode. So this week we asked you, what are some things that you feel like you don't owe to your parents? And if you want to be featured on the episode potentially, make sure to follow us on our Instagram. It's @difficultdish, where we let you guys in on what we're recording for the week for the most part. So you can give us some feedback, questions, advice, and things like that. And we feature you. So I'm excited for this week's responses, because last week's were kind of crazy.
Some that someone said, some that we don't owe our parents. Someone said, control over relationships. What are your thoughts on this? You, as a parent, you don't like your friends' kids. You don't like your kids' friends, sorry.
How about you answer this, because you actually asked me this hypothetically yesterday. You said, what if our daughter is dating someone that we don't like?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on it?
I think like the type of parent that I'm going to be, like, our kids are going to, like, they're already going to know, like, you know, like, I think I use that excuse a lot, because I think I'm going to be a great parent that, mm-hmm, like, our kids are already going to know, like, what's right or wrong, you know?
I think that's true. Like, they're going to have values instilled in them and, you know, what we disapprove and approve of. But I also feel like when you are at that age of high school, you don't really care.
But, you know, hear me out. Like, I think it's important to have, like, dumbass friends, too. Because you get, like, the whole experience, you know.
Well, you gotta,
like,
learn. Yeah,
you need friends that are crackheads, you need friends that are scholars, you need everything in between. You know, so you could get a little taste of everything. Mm-hmm. As long as you're a good kid. Like, I think of my cousin Noor, good kid, right? But he's not from a good neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't go to a good school. Mm-hmm. He probably went to school with a lot of crackheads. I know we went to, like, he went to school with a lot of crackheads. Probably a lot of kids that grew up with went down bad paths. Mm-hmm. But he's a good kid. And I think he turned out to be such a good kid because he had that exposure. Mm-hmm. I think exposure is very important, you know.
But like, also, that exposure sometimes makes you the opposite. It makes you follow the crowd.
But that comes down to, like, are you a good parent? Like, are you what's the word? Like, are you just raising your kids right? You know, like, to understand, like, what's right and
wrong. So what are your thoughts on control over relationships as a parent, then?
I think, like, I agree with them. Like, we should not, like, parents should not have control over the relationships of the kids. Mm-hmm. But I think if you do follow that mantra, you also have to follow the mantra that you gotta be a good-ass parent. It's just so your kids know that, like, hey, like, that friend, like, you know, they're a cool person. They treat you right. You have a good time with them. Just, like, I hope you know that they're not a good kid. So, like, you know, you could be the good influence on them, you know? Mm. It's good to be a good influence. You know, you don't always got to be surrounded by people better than you. It's okay to be around people that, like, you know, can learn a thing off of you, especially at that age. Like, I think it's a very rewarding experience, you know, being, like, the person that, like, someone can, like, look at for, like, a good influence type of thing. And, you know, you might never know, like, this kid that is, like, not the good kid that is friends with your kid, maybe they want to be better, you know, they want to be better, but, like, you know, past experiences, they ended up in, like, a bad place, whatnot. All I'm trying to say is, like, yeah, I agree with them, like, no control over relationships. You just gotta be a good-ass parent. Figure it out. Yeah, you gotta be a good-ass parent, though.
Okay.
You understand?
That was good.
Thanks. Someone said, I always feel like my parents have always given us everything, so naturally I feel like I owe them lots back.
That's a good point.
You agree?
I agree. You do feel you have this, like, guilt over you. And I don't know if we talked about it really in our last episode, but we did talk about how sometimes there's this, like, overarching expectation, even if it's not, like, fully verbally said. Like, for example, us providing for our parents financially in some aspects, they never really asked us, like, oh my God, give us this much money. Or, I mean, sometimes they do ask, but they don't really want our money and they don't really ask us, but we still feel like if we have the means to, we should do that, right? Yeah. And I think they're, for children of immigrants, since our parents did sacrifice so much, we feel like it's up to us to also give that back to them now that we are able to as adults. And it's rough sometimes if there's, like, no boundaries with it, you know? Like, you said in the last episode that we should give our time to our parents, like, however much that is. But I think that there should be boundaries with how much time we give, because we also have our own lives and work and things that we need to do. And we can't just, like, be with our parents forever, especially when we're adults.
Yeah.
With, like, our own families or, like, issues or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why there's so much guilt associated with things. Like, even there's guilt associated with, like, resting, you know, because my parents were never able to rest or take vacation. So when I sit down, even for a second after a long, hard day, I'm like, what even is the point of this? Do I even deserve this?
Facts.
You know?
I've also experienced such a thing.
Have you?
Quite a bit. And someone said, saying yes to everything for them. It's so easy to lose yourself with this. So, you know, just, like, all, like, the tiny things, saying yes to everything.
People pleasing.
Yeah, Masun, go get me some peanut butter. Masun, go get me, you know, just, like, yes, mother, yes, mother. Which is okay, but it's, like, you know, like you just said, when it comes to, like, just, like, you sacrificing on, like, your own things that you want to do. You know, like, that happened to me a lot, where, like, I would be, like, so excited one night to, like, just, like, read my book or to just, like, write a little poetry
after a long, then, hard day of working.
And then me and my mom was like, Masnoon, come do this,
give me some fries.
I mean, that's fine, but it's just, like, taking away, like, you know, my time. Yeah, I want to do something. Like, you gotta learn how to say no, you know. But yeah,
you deserve to have your time.
Thanks, buddy.
But I get that.
You mean that?
Yeah.
Okay,
we have a whole episode on people pleasing, by the way, if you want to listen to that.
Probably. Anything else?
No, that's it. I thought this was a good one.
Good episode. Good episode. Y'all think that was a good episode?
Yeah, this was a part two, and even this one was long. Like, imagine if we did try to make everything concise and fit into one.
That'd be too much for you guys.
Thank God we did. Thank God we did.
You're welcome.
Good episode. You got
Ten second advice?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
TSA made it a thing that, like, you need real IDs to fly now. You really don't.
No, I think you do because they told me to.
I just flew to and from Florida. Same shit. So don't stress about it. You know, like, you're perfect the way that you are.
Oh, wow.
Without your real ID.
Wow, that was good.
You understand.
Nice little pep talk.
Yeah, you got anything?
If you are a painter and you don't want to get your clothes dirty, but you have an apron for the kitchen, just put that on instead.
Wow. Did you do that?
No, but I've been thinking about it. No,
you're just looking at the apron.
Yeah, I was looking at it, but I've been thinking about it. Because I don't have like a bib. That's pretty good. You know, like a paint apron, like a bib.
I don't think it's called a bib.
Like a paint apron.
A bib is what you call babies.
Okay.
I was playing with this baby for a while yesterday.
I know.
You were too busy, just stressed out.
Yeah.
I kept smiling at this one baby. He kept smiling at me. No teeth.
Yeah, he probably thought you were one of his own. Anyway, you have a Bangla word of the day?
We can say
child since we were talking about it. Child is bacha.
Bacha!
You know, that's what all the workers at the Eid clothes shops were thinking we were. Little two bachas just coming in shopping for clothes.
Sorry, yo.
Yeah.
Sorry, yo.
But anyways, if you're listening to this on Friday, Eid Mubarak, if you are celebrating.
Oh my God, Eid Mubarak.
Thank you so much for listening. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed our yapping and talking and making fun of each other in this one. Make sure to follow us on the Instagram and TikTok. It's @difficultdish@difficultdishpodcast. Our own personal ones @mushroommunir, @mahuakan. Damn, we got our names finally on Instagram. Yep. But we love you guys so much, and we will see you next week. Allah Hafiz.
Bye.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.